Chris, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thanks very much for joining us here on The Daily. So to give us a little bit more, I guess, insight into this idea, this theory, could you explain to us what exactly a flat earther is?
Well, flat earther, I mean, it's self-defining in a way. A flat earther is anyone who believes the earth is flat. I mean, generally, though, the way we use the term's got nothing to do with that, you know, literal definition. It's just a way of insulting someone. To call someone a flat earther is really to say that they're almost like the archetypal idiot. They're the person who has got the backward views and so on. I mean, so which means that it turns out, ironically enough, that most people called flat earthers don't believe in a flat earth.
Yes, and although in this case, surprisingly enough, there are still people that do believe that.
Yes, there are. There is a flat earth society. I mean, it's been a minority tradition in science. There's a few of these. It's been a tiny minority in science that the people believe there's a flat earth, but with almost no representation from the scientific establishment. But, I mean, if you have a URL and a will, you can set up your own society too.
How long is it actually that we actually came across the idea that the Earth was round, or we came across the realization that the Earth was round? Because my understanding is, even back in Christopher Columbus' times, nobody was afraid he was going to sail off the edge of the Earth. They were still quite aware of the scientific evidence mounting up for a round Earth as opposed to a flat one.
Oh, look, it was more than mounting up. It was common knowledge that the Earth was round by that stage. Really, by the third, it's very early, actually, really by the 3rd century BC, people are fairly sure that the Earth is round. And by the 1st century BC, it's basically the standard consensus. This is in the West. It's slightly different in China, where that view comes much later, but it's still in what we'd call early modern times. So really, it's been the scientific consensus for around 2,000 years. It's certainly not the case that Columbus believed, or that people were afraid he was going to sail off the edge of the Earth. That's one of these modern myths about how backward people were. But no, it's not true.
So to unpack this theory just a little bit more, if you're a believer in the flat Earth, if you buy into this conspiracy theory, what exactly is believed to be on the other side? And why would anybody lie? What's to be gained about lying about the situation that we're living in?
Well, it's a really good question. Most of the time, the kind of options for what lies on the other side of the flatness are open slather. There's speculation amongst flat earthers about what's there. But as for what could be gained by this cover-up, it's a really good question, actually. And I suppose the thing is that originally, when the Flat Earth Society was being established, the sense was that what had happened was that the truth about the flat earth had been covered up in a kind of anti-Christian move. And what you needed to do was get back to the traditional belief of the flat earth. I mean, one of the views that they came out with was the Apollo mission was faked and Kubrick was, you know, the one who filmed it and so on, which is now very popular outside the Flat Earth Society. But of course, even that belief amongst the Flat Earthers, I mean, Christians had not believed the Earth was flat at least since 500 AD, but probably earlier. So even their theology was wrong, as well as their cosmology.
Well, you mentioned there this another similar conspiracy, the faking of the moon landings, which it's a little bit insulting, but when compared to flat earth theory, almost sounds completely logical. Why is it, though, do you think that people that invest in these conspiracy theories invest in them so heavily? They refuse to listen to any other evidence and are always convinced that the evidence against their case must always be fake. They will not listen to other voices in the debate and seem to dig in more and more when their theory is challenged.
Well, I mean, I guess that's a feature of all humans, is we like to have our own, we like to have our ideas and we like to hang on to them tenaciously. I suppose what's unique in terms of the way a conspiracy theory is structured is that it always has a way of accommodating objections, right? So if you say that the Americans are going to plant nuclear weapons in Iraq, and they turn up and there's no nuclear weapons, and you say, well, they didn't plant them, did they? Well, the answer then is, well, no, they didn't plant them. They want you to think that they're honest. So, of course, the thing is that every single disconfirmation, what we'd think of as a disconfirmation of the theory, is able to be incorporated back into the theory. That's what gives it this kind of infinite flexibility, that anything that you could say against it is really at another level evidence for it. Now, if you're given a theory like that, it's basically impossible to disprove it. If I say to you, and it's a feature not just a conspiracy theory, but certain kinds, for instance, of psychoanalysis, if I say to you, you're very repressed, and you say, no, I'm not, I can say to you, well, that's it. You sound really repressed. You know, you're repressing even your idea about your repression. It is a structure of certain theories that anything that can be said against them is seen by some as further confirmation of them.
Well, Chris, thank you very much. It's a fascinating topic and an interesting insight into the thinking behind flat Earth theory and some of these other conspiracy theories that do crop up. Do appreciate you coming on this morning.
My absolute pleasure.